Radio Netherlands, the Dutch International Service, presents A Curse and a Blessing, Water in the Bengali Psyche.
This is the sound of waiting for rain. It's late June in Bangladesh and the rivers are high, near danger point. But the monsoon has still not arrived. It's hot, around 38 degrees, and very, very humid.
There's a Bengali saying, "Jibonir opor nam pani," or "Panir opor nam jibon." You know, the other name for water is life.
Life without water during childhood was meaningless. I mean, we loved water. We used to play in water. We used to fish. And we used to swim for hours. Water was a part of my life.
I was very fond of water always, you know, and the time when I realized that I'm very much in the city and I couldn't go to the ponds for taking bath, and was really every day bathing was in the bathrooms, made me really upset, and I felt the need to jump on a pond. That's still the best memory I have in my life, and I think that opportunity, if the new generation children don't have it, they don't have a childhood.
The names of the rivers, of the fish, of rice and of people are without number. The Padda, the Meghna, the Jamuna, the Shurma, my wandering soul sings on the riverbank. This is my land, my love in joy and in sorrow, in union, in separation, and in troubled times. The Padda, the Meghna, in the delta of a thousand rivers.
The Shahaja poets from 7th century based so much of their teachings on the river. One example is a poem by Chatilla Pada. The river of life, dark and deep, moves swiftly. The two sides are muddy, the middle is depthless. And this is still the same for us, those who live near the river. For us, the river is a part of our being.
River sometimes threatens human habitation. Bangladesh, being a delta region, for thousands of years, the people are exposed to the creation of new land and the demolition of old land into the rivers. If you go to any bank of river Padma or Jamna or Brahmaputra or Dhaleshwari or Meghna, you'll find that on the one side, new ports are being developed, new cultivations, new generation of people are getting their land. And another side, the old land is being crushed into the bed of the river.
In the middle of the river Jamna in the north of Bangladesh, on a small wooden boat, I see three bright strips of colour, silver water, green rice growing on a chur, a big sandbank in the middle of the river, and then blue, blue sky. The river is immense here, 12 miles wide, and this is only one of the three vast rivers feeding the delta, which is Bangladesh: the Padda, the Meghna, and the Jamuna.
On the shore, you have these people with kind of a, you could say, a frontier mentality. That is, you cultivate land, which may be quite fertile, and then you harvest, and then sometimes you run. You save what you can because the water comes.
I live on this chore because I have some land here, which I cultivate for my livelihood. Some of my fields often go underwater. Floods come. Chore lands erode away. One chore may go into the river, while another one comes up. Thus, our life goes on. The land we farm, the crops we plant, some we have lost to the river, some we could keep. This is how we live.
I have met many families who would say, instead of "how are you," they would ask, "how many times have you lost your home?" And the answer would be, "oh, about 15 times. And that's in a lifetime of 30 years.
Kosto ase, sukho ase. Panir moddhe ektu kosto hoy.
There is hardship, but there's also happiness. When the water rises, it becomes difficult, but peace returns once the water recedes. If I regard this as hardship, then I cannot live on the chor. Now the river is high. When it recedes, it will leave behind rich silt on the land. We will plant crops and get a good harvest. We'll plant aman rice and we'll get a good crop. We will not remember the difficulties. We'll be happy. It's a peaceful life. There's both sorrow and joy.
It started with gardens, rice field, and then homestead went. There was a mosque which was made of brick. In fact, it was the only brick building in the whole village. The other houses were made of bamboo. And people believed that Allah would save this mosque. But then it also went to the river. It was incredible. I mean, a village, its history, its tombs, its homestead, its mosque, just vanished in the water. The reaction of the people was not to be angry at the river. It was rather to try to placate the spirit, the god that controlled the water. And the first reaction of the village people when the land started eroding was to throw sweets and milk and placate this spirit, who obviously was angry at them because they were having a lot of problems.
In the past, people might have sought help from shamans, but it didn't work. People performed various rites, chanting over a handful of rice or flour, or chanting prayers, but the river paid no heed. They don't do it now because what's the use? Erosion occurs anyway.
The idea of God in our culture is not God as something super, you know. God is water, river, land, and air, you know, fresh air. So those which keep us alive, those which are very, very important for the life of the human beings. So, you know, the relationship of people with the river is as if it's between two human beings. They consider Padda as another person outside there. So Padda can be angry, Padda is sometimes happy. So they are trying to relate with Padda according to its mood.
Ar koto kat bai bi khe How much longer can you row your little boat in the whirlpool of life? The clouds and dreams are driven around your head. You do nothing but follow illusions. Your oar is broken and your boat is leaking in the middle of the storm.
Water here in Bangladesh is so vital to agriculture and therefore to life that in the south of the country, small-scale wars break out between farmers and businessmen who want to cultivate shrimps.
Shrimp is a very big export earner for our country, and it brings in a lot of money. In order to get the maximum profit, you just inundate larger areas of land. And many of the land that is taken through sheer physical power. And in one of the areas where we work and where she lived, this shrimp owner, he's one of the most notorious shrimp owners of the area, who's been involved in a lot of murder and forcibly occupying a lot of land for shrimp. He tried to move in and was met with resistance from the local people. He and his thugs came back later, and in the middle of the night, and once the word spread, there were about 14 villages, where the word spread, everybody came rushing out, thinking that they would, from all the 14 villages, if thousands and thousands of people came together, the shrimp owners would retreat. And there was no legal basis for the shrimp owners being there in the first place. And Korunamoyi was in the forefront, and they shot at the people, and they threw the bomb, and she died.
Torsha nodi utal patal karba chole na shona bondhur badere mor kemon kori gaore torsha nodi utal patal re torsha nodi utal patal karba chole na shona bondhur badere mor kemon kori gaore torsha nodi utal patal re.
This is a type of song known as bhawaiya. This song is sung in northern part of Bangladesh. And this song says that there's a river called Torsha. And it is a very, very fast-going river. So this song says that Torsha nodir utal patal karba chole na. It says that the Torsha river is so fierce that it is almost impossible for any boatman to take his boat into this river. And the singer, who is a woman, she says that, I am thinking about the person who has gone away in this river, in this inclement weather.
Floods do not usually kill people, unlike cyclones, which might kill 100,000 people in one night. The mortality rates for an average year would be at most 100 or so. In catastrophic flooding years, this might rise to a few hundred. People do not actually die from flooding to the extent that, for example, they die from road accidents in Bangladesh. Floods aren't terrible things. On the contrary, if you leave out the years of catastrophic flooding, which vary between 3 to 10 years per century, for 90 years or more, every century, you have normal flooding. That normal flooding is actually beneficial for the entire agroecological system of the country.
During the flood, I lost my 6 ducks, but then later 50 ducks appeared. So although the flood took away 6 ducks, it brought back 50 ducks. But as I only had 6 ducks originally, I couldn't keep them all, so I just kept 6 and let the rest go. But I told the other villagers that they could only keep 6 each.
I worked for the flood action plan in 92-93, and my job as an anthropologist was first try to see whether there were any scheme initiated by people to manage water. The rivers, the water is mighty, they know this. But with their small means, depending on the local geography, they try in various ways to sort of build an embankment so that they have time to harvest their rice before it gets flooded. And we were really impressed with the collaboration that exists between a number of villages. But, you know, the engineers were not interested at those initiatives that people manage quite well themselves. It didn't help to spend money. It's not that the skills of the engineers is not needed and could not do things that are useful. It's just that they do things above the head of the villagers. And I was told that small projects didn't interest them. It had to be sort of above a certain amount of money for them to have the time to consider it. And it was interesting. We made an assessment of the water management schemes and projects that had been implemented in the last 20 years. And we saw a number of white elephants. I mean, dams and structures that had been put up at a cost which was 100 times more than what villagers did with simply bamboo and gonne bags filled with sand and this kind of technique. But the very expensive scheme built by engineers had failed just as quickly. I mean, had failed just the same.
There is a pilot project under this controversial flood action plan, and we hear that because of this pilot project, there is already some siltation in that area, so the sand is falling on the cropland, which is an enemy to the farmers. And also there is intense flooding problem around those pilot project areas. So it is perceived, understood that when you have massive infrastructure embankments, you also invite problem like waterlogging and then problem with siltation and so forth.
The dike is bad for us. It's bad for the crops. Dikes prevent the river water from flooding the land, and that affects the land. If there's no water, we won't have a crop. And where will the fish lay their eggs?
We're all getting organized to break down the sluice gate at Baruha, and there have been big fights about it. We told them to break the sluice gate because without water we cannot grow Aman rice, which needs a lot of water. Then we had a big meeting with another village, and they said that the sluice gate was harming them too, that they also wanted to break it down and bring life back, because it's not only the land but also people who are dying.
কাউনায়ার বাতাসি মাছ কোথায় যাইয়া পাই আমি কোথায় যাইয়া পাই বন্ধুরে দেশি মাছে বড়া ছিল সোনার বাংলাদেশ ইরিদানের আবাদ আইসা সফ হইল সে গজা টাটকুনি শিলং বাটকা গজা টাটকিনি শিলং বাটকা কোথায় গেলে পাই.
Where can I get koronia or batashi fish? Where can I get them? Oh, friends, Bangladesh was full of local kinds of fish. But they've all gone. Boja, tatkoni, shilon, and baitka fish. Where can I get them now? Where can I get koronia and batashi fish? We've lost nondoni, shilon, baitka, shalom, and putti fish. Where can I get them now?
কাকিমাছে কদুম যায় বাইলা মাছে জুড়ি
Nature itself, in the form of the river flows, may knock down these structures or make them inoperative as they have done in the past. But also, wherever things have got really bad, people are known to cut down embankments which are flooding their homes and crops. So the twin forces of nature and of people's resistance might slow down the propensity towards construction of more structures, but the overall effect will be a mutilated landscape with more and more structures built but which have been made inoperative by either the forces of nature or by people's responses.
Batir dasher kajol maya Batir dasher kajol maya Koranda mon kainda bedai rihe Odi apcha mehe apcha nidai apcha mehe.
The woman is actually singing this song, saying that you are going from one bank of the river to the other, and you are taking with you all these beautiful clouds with you. But I'd like to tell you that this soul is also crying and weeping for you to return.
A woman calling up a boatman. It's very interesting that how she is relating to the boatman, not only for love, but also a messenger to her parents' families. So a woman, when she feels that she is isolated in her in-laws, she hasn't seen her parents for a long time, she goes to the river ghat and then tells the boatman. There are many, many songs where women are clearly saying, "Boatman, come, I'm waiting for you, I love you, I'm always coming to the river ghat to see you." You know, the attraction that the boatmen create is also because they sing while they row the boats.
There is a time where there is a drought, there's no rain, and all these rivers and rivulets, they get completely out of water. And then what people do, they assemble in a field and they have a common community song asking for rain from the nature, from the Almighty.
Allah mege de, Allah mege de. Allah meg de pani de thaya de re tu Allah meg de Allah meg de Allah meg de Allah meg de pani de thaya de re tu Allah meg de Asman hoilo tu da jomin hoilo phada Asman hoilo tu da jomin hoilo phada Megra ja ghumaya roche meg divo tor ketai Allah meg de pani de chhaya de re tui Allah meg de pani de chhaya de re tui Allah meg de Allah meg de Allah meg de Allah meg de pani de chhaya
And here it is, drifting across the landscape in front of me, making everything grey. The trees in the distance have disappeared completely behind a curtain of water. Everyone's gone inside, apart from a couple of children jumping up and down in the rain, loving every second of it, getting cool for the first time in weeks, in months. But the news is that there's a cyclone building up in the Bay of Bengal.
In 1991, I was sent to cover in the coastal area in Chittagong district. It was a big tidal storm and millions of people died. I start at 12 at noon and I reached there after 6 hours at 6 p.m. Sea was so rough because after tornado, sea remains rough naturally. After reaching there, we found so many people are dying and the dead body was hanging ups and down in the big tree and the houses demolished and the people are crying. 50% people are died and 50% people are alive still. But there are no food, no shelter, there are open sky. Then I took the picture because I didn't think that the dead body is hanging. That must 30 feet high, big tree. And so many dead body, because the tide was so high, when the tide gone, the dead body was hanging over there. So the picture was published, and within a night, I become famous. But the horrible trouble of that tiny boat, it break my sleep and horror night. Every year in Bangladesh, tornado comes. Small or big or yeah, this year also happened, but I didn't go because I'm afraid to go. So I never go again to cover the coastal areas because water is now very panic to me. But it was not like that in my childhood. I was so happy to swim, so happy to caught fish in my village river. After I come back from the coastal area in 1991, maybe 1 month, more than 1 month, I was completely sick, mentally and physically. I could not take food because I get the smells of the coastal area that was dead body and other things. So I could not take food.
These Nayori songs, besides giving vent to the feelings of love for father, mother, brother, sister. This is another connotation. During their rainy season, when women go to see their families, similarly, there will be a time when this body has to travel for the last time in that boat in which the body is taken for final burial. So the goodbye is also often said to the body. The body is also given au revoir in that boat.
Curse and a Blessing, Water in the Bengali Psyche, was produced by Francis Rolt. This has been a Radio Netherlands presentation.